You may or may not know that the church, the Catholic Church, does not operate using the regular calendar. The Catholic Church operates in what is called the liturgical calendar. And the liturgical calendar does not start on January 1. The liturgical calendar starts on the first Sunday of Advent. The way you calculate the first Sunday of Advent is you go to Christmas, and then you count from Christmas four Sundays back. And the first of the four Sundays is the first Sunday of Advent. That's the beginning of the church year. I say that because we are now nearing the end of the church year. Next Sunday is the final regular Sunday. And then the Sunday after that is the final Sunday of the church year, which is called Christ the King. And then right after that begins the first Sunday of Advent. Now, that's important for this reason, that the church picks the readings that we have for every Sunday. And as you start getting close to the end of the liturgical year, the readings begin to refer more and more to the last judgment and the end of time. Okay? And that's what's happening now. This Sunday and next Sunday, the readings will more and more reflect that. Now, today's reading, you may not say, well, what does this have to do with the end of time? Well, it's actually a parable that Jesus is telling concerning the return of the groom, which is himself, and it's the return of him at the end of time. And the parable is very, it's interesting because the interesting part of it is that Matthew, whom this is his gospel, you can tell he is writing for a Jewish audience because he expects that everybody who's reading the gospel will be familiar with Jewish wedding customs. And that's what he's referring. What Jesus is doing is he is taking a typical Jewish wedding and he is exaggerating it for the purpose of communicating his point. Now look at I'm not going to go through the whole wedding ceremony, but suffice it to say that the final phase of the wedding ceremony was for the groom to be brought in by his groomsmen, and they would bring him to the place where they were going to live, he and his bride, and the bridesmaids, which are the virgins, that's what the word maid means, they would be waiting to welcome the groomsmen and the groom himself. Now, this is a very, very weird situation, because notice what's happening. The groom is super late, super late. He's not there until midnight. I've had late weddings, but man, this one takes the cake. Okay? The groom, it's midnight. Now, in those days, of course, they didn't have street lights. And so in order for the groom to find the specific house that he had to go to, it was the practice that the bridesmaids would stand outside in a row, standing, directing through oil lamps the path to go to the specific house that they had to go to. And so part of the job of the bridesmaids is they are to dress up in a very nice dress, like a bridesmaid would, and they are to be there with their oil lamps, and when somebody sees the groom coming, they're supposed to shout, "Here comes the groom! Okay, here he comes!" And so, what they're supposed to do now is, they're supposed to light the oil lamps and show the way of the groom to the house. Now, that's the story. Now, I want you to notice what's happening in this story. Notice that the groom is so late, all the bridesmaids fall asleep. All of the bridesmaids are asleep. And then, when they announce the groom is getting up, getting there, the bridesmaids are all get up. But five of them are called wise, and five of them are called foolish. Now, what's the difference between the wise and the foolish? And of course, it's no oil. The foolish have no oil. Now, examine that for a minute. The thing that makes the bridesmaids wise or foolish is that which cannot be seen. You can't see. You can see the lamp, but you can't know if inside the lamp there's any oil. That can't be seen. And so notice what the foolish ones did. They all got dressed up. It's kind of like, you know, they spent time in the mirror and they look beautiful. And then they're all there. Okay, they're all there and they're standing with the rest of them. You look at the 10 of them and you can't tell the difference. But here it happens. When it's time to do their job, and what's their only job? Their only job is to light the way for the groom. They can't do it. Now, you know, lately, we have been using I think it's an excellent distinction between cultural Catholicism and intentional discipleship. I can just see a group of bridesmaids say, you know, I've heard many women who, and groomsmen too, but many women who say, this is the fourth wedding I've been a bridesmaid to. And you gotta buy the dress and you gotta do, you know, everything. So a lot of bridesmaids I've heard do it outwardly joyful, but another wedding I gotta go to. Okay? You can imagine these five foolish ones saying, okay, I'm gonna get dressed. I got my dress and I grab my oil lamp. But notice, they're doing it because that's what's expected of them. That's what's expected of them. What is their job? Their job is to light, not to be pretty. Their job is to light the way of the groom to the specific house. They do everything that can be seen. They're dressed up. They're there. They did their hair. Everything can be seen. But what's the one thing they forget? What can't be seen? They forget to put oil, which is the only purpose for their being there. Now, what do the wise do? They do the same thing, except they're paying attention to the detail, and they get oil to put into their lamps. Now, for me, this is where the issue comes that Jesus is trying to get at. What Jesus is trying to say is, look, it's not enough to practice your faith so that outwardly everything looks good. You know, you're a cultural Catholic. You dress up, you go to church, you do the stuff, and da-da-da-da-da-da, and you punch your Catholic card, and I got no sin. But what happened? You didn't do the purpose. And the purpose of your faith is not to practice to come to church. I understand coming to church is important, but the purpose of your faith is not to go to church. The purpose of your faith is that so that when you come to church, the gospel begins to get inside of you and literally reformat your hard drive. That is your hard drive. You have to reformat your hard drive so that there is a new operating system in here. But I think the language of computers is very apropos. All of us run on an operating system. Okay? When the operating system is corrupted, what you have to do is reinstall. You have to clear the operating system and reinstall a new one. That's exactly what the Catholic Church is saying. The human race is corrupted. It's not evil. It's there's a virus scrambling what God created. And your internal operating system is corrupted. And so what do you have to do? You have to reinstall the system. And what does the church call the corrupt system? Original sin. Original sin is our name. It's not a sin you committed. It's our name for the virus that has gotten inside the human personality so that our system, operating system, is corrupted. And so the whole point of the bridegroom coming and them lighting the lamps, what's the point? That they had to show the way. The foolish virgins were just doing what they were supposed to do. They were going, okay, I'll stand here. Here's my bridesmaid dress. Here's my oil lamp. Okay. But they didn't pay attention. They didn't pay attention to the only thing that mattered, and that is the oil. The oil in this parable stands for what's important, and it's what's called a judgment parable. There's another judgment parable. Remember when Jesus is talking about at the end of time. At the end of time, the Lord will come and he will divide the sheep from the goats. And he will say to the sheep, come, enter into my Father's kingdom. For I was hungry and you gave me to eat. I was thirsty, you gave me to drink. I was in jail, you visited. I was sick and you came to help me. All of those things. And then they will say, the blessed will say, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you? When did we see you thirsty and give you to drink? And so on and so forth. And they will, and Jesus will say, I tell you, whatsoever you did, notice the point here, whatever you did to the least of my brothers and sisters, you did it for me. And then he will turn to those who are being separated. They're called the goats. And he will say, away from me, you evildoers, I do not know you. He says exactly the same thing to the bridesmaids later. He says, I do not know you. And then the goats will say, wait a minute, what do you mean you don't know us? And they say, but we prophesied in your name. We did miracles in your name. We stood and we did everything that a cultural Catholic should do. And then he will say, I was thirsty. You did not give me to drink. I was in jail. You didn't visit me. I was hungry. You didn't give me to eat. Notice what the dividing line is. Both the sheep and the goats know Jesus. Both have faith in Jesus. Both did stuff, miracles, and prophecy in his name. What is the dividing line? Their faith had not penetrated inside them to the point that it changed their operating system. They stayed on the outside. You know, there's a movie that I don't recommend. It's the last of the Godfather series. And in the last of the Godfather series, there's who's the Al Pacino, isn't it? He's the guy who plays it. And Al Pacino is walking with a cardinal in Italy. And they are walking in next to a looks like an ancient castle or convent. And they're walking, and Al Pacino turns to this cardinal, and he says, how is it? Because he's looking back at his life, and he's seeing all the killing and all the treachery that's gone back in his life. And he says to the cardinal, how is it that we can live in this Catholic country surrounded by monuments to Christianity, by things that remind us of Jesus? How is it that we can get down so corrupt and still be surrounded by so much? And then as the cardinal stops, and they're walking next to a stream, and the cardinal leans over to in the stream and reaches his hand underneath the water, and he picks up a stone. And the stone, he takes the stone and he smashes it on a stone on the bank. And the stone splits apart. And he shows it to Pacino. And he says, you see this stone? It has been underwater in this stream probably for hundreds, if not thousands of years. But look, on the outside it is wet. And then he shows him, but on the inside, not one drop has penetrated inside. And he says, that is a lot of us. We live surrounded by the culture of our faith. And we do outwardly what looks like we ought to do, like the virgins did, the bridesmaids. But not one drop of what's important has penetrated. And that's the whole meaning of this parable. Jesus is changing the name. Jesus is talking about the difference between a cultural Catholic and an intentional disciple. Cultural, at Catholicism, we do everything we're expected to do, but not, it doesn't get inside of us. You see, it's not enough to accept faith in the sense of, you know, sometimes you hear, especially from a few Protestants, not all, you hear, have you accepted Jesus in your life as your personal Savior? And that's not a bad question. But sometimes, and a lot of times, people interpret that to mean, all I have to do is, okay, Jesus, I accept you in my life as my personal Savior, and that's it. I don't have to do anything else. And of course, that comes from the opposite. Because the opposite was that in medieval Catholicism, you had to do stuff. Didn't matter how your heart was, you had to do stuff, and then you almost paid your way into heaven. And so the two sides, one side goes to say, oh, all you have to do is believe in Jesus, and that's all you got to do. And the other side says, no, you don't have to do that. All you got to do is do the good works, and it doesn't matter how you believe inside. Both are wrong. Both are wrong. There's an old saying that, you know, when you've heard people say, you were saved by faith alone. And that's actually true. We are saved by faith alone. However, the kind of faith that saves is not alone. Because the kind of faith that saves is the kind that permeates, and it's the kind that produces fruits inside of you so that you are actually transformed and you can see the evidence in your life. That's the difference in the ten bridesmaids. Outside, they all look the same. Inside, they forgot the oil, the foolish ones. The oil stands for the fruit of your faith. That which you can't see in a person's life, because if you look around here, you can't tell who does what. We're all looking decent and we're all here at church. You can't tell what's hidden inside the human being. And what Jesus is saying is, Jesus is the one that can. Because when it comes time, we're called to light our lamps. meaning we're called to show the oil. I find it interesting that the bridesmaids, the five wise bridesmaids say, no, we may not have enough. Go buy some for yourselves. Where are they going to buy it? You thought about that? There wasn't a 24-hour Target, you know, Jerusalem Target down. The vendors are not necessarily open. Jesus is not talking about that. He's talking about it's a hyperbole. It's an exaggeration to make the point. So what's the takeaway from today? I think the takeaway from our perspective is, as all of us move from a kind of a cultural Catholicism in different steps to being intentional disciples of Jesus, keep your eye on what's important. Coming to church is important, but not as important as living your faith. Coming to church is a way of feeding, of learning, of deepening, of taking the new software in, but you have to install it. You have to get it inside of you. It's not enough to just leave it on the outside. And that's the whole point. As we're getting towards the end of the liturgical year, we're being asked, what's the oil in your life? If your life were cracked open, what would there be inside? Would there be empty, like that rock that was dry? You would be wet on the outside but dry on the inside? Or would you be shown to have internalized the message of Jesus? As we're coming to the end of this liturgical year, it's an important question to ask ourselves. And then to look before the groom comes, maybe you better go to Target and get some oil for your lamp. Meaning, start taking seriously what you do and how much of an intentionality you have about being a disciple of Jesus. It's worth thinking about.